So you really had to run for the end. You do enjoy it?
Oh, I love that place. That's one of my favorite places to eat.
We went there a couple times when we first had it. Oh, and it wasn't bad.
We love the breakfast.
And it changed hands after the first guys that opened it are different from the guys.
Oh, yeah, it's.
No, we were there too, right after they had.
Yeah, their food's pretty good.
I think their food is fantastic. That breakfast is amazing. We didn't have breakfast, but we have met James and I shouldn't have been here.
Oh, yeah, it's really good breakfast. That Lure toast.
And I've had the spaghetti. I think that's the only thing that I've not had before that I've had there that's not good breakfast.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Addison, are you quit today? No?
Maybe.
I've never liked to work.
Twins.
Didn't like it at all.
Short play?
No.
Oh, there's something I don't know about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure, but I'm twins. Hi, Frank.
Oh, boy, is that just like.
Yeah, that's right.
The boys, yeah. I thought I heard those.
I know.
It is true, it's very. Now, that's more actually.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm talking with. I'm talking with. He doesn't have that well.
Well, you guys are angry.
I'm going to.
No, you're right. That's time to get on.
Are we gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. It's time for us to begin this morning. I want to welcome everybody and wish all the men here that are fathers, happy Father's Day. Children, take care of your fathers. Our first song selection this morning is 200. 200, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Just for this group here, I'll tell you. I made this out last week, and one of the songs, the same one that James laid last week, so I'm not copying him because I had mine made out, and he had his made out. So I don't know if that's a good mind sticking together or what, but I just thought I'd tell this group here because you guys are great. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all
is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, far above the earth and sky. Let him praise us, give Jehovah, they were made at his command. Then forever he established his decree.
Pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning just glorifying your name and hope that we can lift it up and give our songs of hallelujah to you from the heart and for full meaning from what we have, for you are an awesome and great God. We ask that you be with us today through our Bible study, that we would open our hearts and minds to your word, and that we may apply it in every aspect that we possibly can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Past your classes. Once again, I want to welcome everybody, and I'm glad you're here. Study. I do want to encourage everybody here to maybe call somebody this week and that's normally here during worship and invite them to come to the Bible study with us in the morning. We just don't want to keep this all to ourselves. What we study, we want to share it and help those individuals grow too. Don't get me wrong, I do know that some of them have issues that they cannot be here as much or as long as they'd like to be, but I want to encourage all of you to try to encourage them. I think that a lot of them would like to hear from you. Encouragement goes a long ways. Aren't we brothers and sisters? This is what lesson was about here last week with Paul. He had encouragements from his brothers, the disciples there, that cried and hugged his neck. And, that's something when somebody cares enough for you. So the point of it is we care for them. So let's make sure they know that. We are going to try to finish up Acts chapter 20 with the questionnaire Does anybody not have a questionnaire this morning? Everybody have one? Did anybody get them filled out? That's unanimous. So we're going to fill it out here in a few minutes. The reason I had asked you to fill them out, to start filling them out when I hand them out, is that way you, yourself, can have a little bit of study time on looking up the questions. And so when you're rereading it and you're looking up these questions, the whole chapter is going to set in your mind a little bit better about what's going on, and we just don't go through it and forget about what we even studied about. Also, that way when we come together on Sunday morning and go over these, once again, you have went over it again. Remember what Doug told us on Wednesday night about studying and sharing and being knowledgeable in season and out of season? That repetition I need. I don't know about you. I can't read something one time and know what it's all about without rereading it, thinking about the episode that we go through to get to that particular point. So I'll share that with you. That way, maybe that'll help you find that out. On your questionnaire, we went over, I think, down to three. I'm going to skip four because that is just basically the names of these individuals. And some of these individuals, I don't think there's a lot said about in the scriptures at all. So we will start with number five. Number five is, who joined Paul and Philip with the men above? That's the answer, with all this men above. So who joined Paul and Philippi, which is all those men in number four? Number six, what was the purpose of the gathering of the first day of the week? That's number six. To break bread. Why is that important? If you remember, in the last few weeks, we have kind of went over that. If you remember, it said in the scriptures that they had came together to break bread, and it was on the first day of the week. Now, he instituted that so that we today still remember his death on the cross and remember the great sacrifice that he had there. Because we know he didn't have to go to the cross for the sake of he had the power not to. But he went to help all of us because that's what's going to save us, is the blood that he shed on the cross. The death that he had sacrificed himself to make sure that we had that opportunity. If you remember, the Jews had to go to a certain place, correct me if I'm wrong, it might have been Jerusalem, but all they did was roll their sins forward for another year. They were never truly forgiven of their sins. So all of them had to go. That was part of the old law. We don't have to do that today. Why is that? Because Christ went to the cross for each and every one that is willing to be a Christian, it is willing to do what he's asked us to do, which is follow his teachings. This is a question that, by the way, did anybody have any questions or comments that they want to make?
I just think it's important that they had been, he's wanting to get back, to Jerusalem area and so on. But he stayed there 7 days. That means he got there on Monday, and he stayed all the way through the first day of the week so he could break bread with them.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Why was that important? Anybody?
Because he wanted to share the Lord's Supper with them.
With his fellow men, yeah. With his fellow Christians.
Right.
See how important that is, coming together on Sunday? You know, when I do the Lord's Supper, a lot of times I'll say, this is one of the most important things that we're here for. To break bread, to remember Christ, to share him going to the cross. For us to remember that great sacrifice that he did. And he did that for all of us that are willing, like I said, to follow him. What was the name of the young man that fell out of the window? You know what? As a kid, I never remembered that.
Eutychus.
Eutychus. Why is that important?
Paul raised him from the dead.
Because he raised him from the dead, yes. And, you know, I didn't focus much on his name. I focused much on the resurrection as a kid. But both of them are important because the simple fact that we don't want to forget the great act that he did for this individual. He was tired and he fell asleep. I got a question. How many's going to be awake tonight if we start preaching this morning and Doug continues till midnight?
That will be interesting.
What's that?
So that'll be interesting.
Well, what's interesting is that do we have enough faith to stay here that long? That's what I want to ask.
No.
Do we have enough faith? I believe, anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have the faith that these individuals had back then. Why? Why don't we have that faith? Why do?
I think some people probably do have that.
What's that?
I think some people probably.
Yeah, but I'm talking about for the most part, we don't have that faith. But we should have, just like Stacy said, that some people do. We should have that faith. I've met people, in my opinion, had that faith. Here's why I'm getting at. I believe that you and I have a lot to learn and a lot of growth that we need to do. Do we ever stop growing? Some people might be a pew, that's P-E-W, warmer. They come here and they sit here in the pew right here, and that's all they do. Is that part of our Christianity? No, that's not growth. That is not growth.
James, one comment I had concerning the name of this individual. I don't think the name of this individual is important. I think the fact that this individual had a name is important, right? This isn't a made-up story. If someone tells you that Paul resurrected Eutychus, well, there's Eutychus right there. Is this a true statement, Eutychus? Well, yeah, it's true. I was the person, right? In his time, that was a fact that could be checked, right?
Right.
He's not with us anymore. Eutychus is not. But this is no less real today than it was the day it was penned.
Well, the point I'm trying to get at is what you're saying is that, let me ask you a question. If I was to ask an individual beside you right now, because you already mentioned that, who was Eutychus before we went over this, you'd go, see what I'm getting at? I want us to put with the name with what happened so that we know the Bible a little bit more. You're right, it's not as important, but like I said, as a child, I didn't make it very much instance on that, but today I would like for us to make an emphasis on it a little bit so that we know who he was. If I'd asked that without us ever going to Acts and we're in Matthew, and I say, well, who's Eutychus? And you go,
We haven't read that yet. Well, that was in Acts. Let me give you, for instance, there used to be about three or four older ladies sitting over here. You could ask them any of those questions and they would know. You know why? They were daily Bible readers. They could inspire you by asking that question and they'd know who it was. You remember that, James? It wasn't that question. It was any question just about. And they could tell you book and chapter sometimes. Old Testament, New Testament. My point with telling us, saying all this, like I said, is for, we need to grow. And if we're not growing and we're stagnant, we're just sitting on that pew coming in here. Remember what Doug also talked about on Wednesday night? He said something about the if we're lukewarm, God's going to spit us out. He wants to be on fire. He wants us to go out and spread the gospel to everybody. And I think we're trying that because we got this evangelism working for us right now. And I think we're reaching a few people. Once again, I'll tell you again, these come out of a book back in the back. I didn't make these questions up because I wouldn't have probably. How did Paul get to Assos? Is that how that, Azo? It was on a ship. Why did he travel by ship? Anybody know? We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. It was convenient.
Faster, probably.
Yes, than traveling by foot or by camel, which I'm not sure if he had a camel. I think he traveled a lot by foot. I don't know. But it was convenient. What was Paul's main purpose for wanting to sail to past Ephesus? And this is question 9. If you want to look in your book, Bible, it's on verse 16.
So he wouldn't have to spend time in Asia.
Why is that important to us?
Well, he was hurrying, trying to get to Jerusalem, possible for Pentecost.
Right. And so if we just look at it and say, well, he's in a hurry. Here's why I brought it up, because if he was just hurrying to spread the gospel, then he wasn't doing the job that he wanted to do. But he wanted to be in Jerusalem. He wanted to be there when it was time for everybody to be there. He wanted to be there for so that he could spend more time there. Let's skip down to 11. What three characteristics describes Paul's service to the Lord in Asia?
Humility, tears, and trials?
Yes. But right before that, it says that he always lived among you. Okay? What would be the purpose of living among them? Why is that important? That he mentioned that. It's just a question thought we might be interested in finding out here. Let's look at it this way. If he come in and taught and left, if he came in and was separated and left, and he didn't live among them so they could actually see him being a Christian, he also was among them to show that he wasn't above any of them individuals so that he could help all individuals. That's kind of the way I look at that, because it said that he lived among you. He said, I live among you. Remember we talked last week about him being a tent maker? He was with those individuals. How important is it for someone that's like Paul teaching to be among the people he's teaching?
It's very important. You get a relationship. You get uplifted. You care. When he's teaching, he didn't have a slot of an hour. I believe he taught 24/7. You know what I mean? He taught all the time, whether it's by his actions, by his answers, how he acted. That's still teaching. So how important was it for him to be among them? A lot. Not that he was above anybody. I want that clear. I don't think that's his purpose. If it was, he might have said, hey, everybody support me. But remember we went over that? He was a tent maker. He went out and made a living with his tent. What did that do?
He got to know Doug. He got to know James. He got to know this person. It gave him a reason to talk to people. That's why I look at this. It gives him a reason. How many in those days need a tent?
How many what?
How many need a tent in those days?
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
A lot, yeah.
A lot. I am sure that only the wealthy or people that were making a really good living was out in houses. But some of these were just nomads. They roamed around. So look how important that is. Another instance that Paul had in number 12, in what two ways did Paul teach? You know, how did he teach them? What did we just talk about?
He taught them publicly and from house to house.
And from house to house. Now, you say house to house, and we just talked about tents. That could be their house. So he had a job that allowed him to meet a lot of different people and encourage them and help them. Okay? Question 14, I think, is important to us. What was Paul's main purpose in life? We talked about that some Wednesday night also. What was his purpose?
That he could finish his race?
You know, Doug, you talked about that.
Yeah.
And we talked about it some, and I'm going to repeat some of it. But when you are in a race of any kind, there's a starting point, okay? The starting point for us is when we become a Christian. Would everybody agree with that?
Yes.
When is it finished? When is our race finished? When we're called by God. What'd you say, Stacy?
When we reached heaven.
When we reached heaven. Well, it could be at our death.
Yeah.
Because once we have passed away, we no longer can worship God in the same way that we have. We are no longer in that race. We're no longer in the race. We have finished the race on earth here. And where I'm going with that is that some people might think, I'm a Christian now, I have finished the race. Think about that for a second. You know, because some people might think that now that you're a Christian, you started and I finished it. No, we have work to do. If we go back to the Gospels, we're going to find out how much work to do.
as going through Acts, we find out how much the Christians needed to do as we've been going through these chapters. This is why I started out earlier about not just sitting on the sidelines. We all have work to do. Now, is it the same as Doug or is it the same as James Miller's or anybody else's in here? No. One reason, we're all at different levels. But that means that we can't move to a different level in our Christian life. Are we ever finished? No. We need to keep growing so that we can finish that race. That race is important for the simple fact that we live here on earth and we have stumbling blocks, we have Satan, we have all kinds of things that get in our way that we need to overcome and make us stronger. Make us stronger. Doug mentioned about being prepared on Wednesday night. That's where that strongness comes in, being prepared. Why was Paul, this is 15 question, why was Paul pure from the blood of all men? Let's read verse 26 and 27. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare you the whole counsel of God. Does there anybody understand that? What I mean by that is, what's he saying in verse 27?
He's told all everything about the gospel of God. And he's not been afraid to tell it.
He didn't hold anything back, did he?
Right.
And then when you don't hold anything back, you know the whole things that we need to do. And I like this part of it. I have not shunned to declare you the whole. He hasn't held back. I've given you everything that you need to know. I've given it to you the ammunition that you need to be that good Christian. Remember, I started out about inviting the ones that are not here that are here during worship time. They need that ammunition too. We are not alone. We have commitments to those individuals also. How can we lift anybody up that we talked about the other day? How can we lift anybody up if we're not communicating with them? Exhorting them. We don't know sometimes, and we don't need to know all the details, but why they're not here. Could be a lack of interest. Could be the incomplete information of what we need to be doing as Christians. I mean, it could be a whole long list. It could be none of those things. But I want you to look to left and to your right and to the back and right now. Look at everybody that's in here, okay? Turn around and look. Are these the ones that are usually here? Yes. Do you care about all these individuals?
Yes.
What about during worship? Do you care about those people? What I want us to do is to grow. If we grow with each other, we can grow with the community. few weeks ago, the kids and I we worshiped Owensboro. And before the preacher started preaching, you don't have to do this, Doug, but before he started preaching, he got up when he was up here in the pulpit and he said, "I want everybody to stand up." Boom, they all stood up. "I want you to go and talk to somebody that you haven't talked to yet this morning." Was those always the same people? No, you might have talked to James, you might have talked to David, but did I get a chance to talk to Doug or Stacy or Georgia? He was showing how much they need to care. If we do not care about each other, how are we going to care about our own lives? Just something you might want to think about. Question 16 is, who are to be the overseers or bishops of the church, its elders? With what did Jesus purchase the church? What did he purchase the church with? We talked about it earlier. I didn't hear you, Ashley.
His blood.
His blood. Now, 18 is really important. We've talked about that some Wednesday night and last Sunday. What two things did Paul say would happen after his departing?
Savage wolves would come in.
Wolves would come in.
And men will rise up and say perverse things and try to change the minds and throw away the disciples.
I know this is a dumb question, but who are the wolves? Influence of anybody that's good against God's will, God's word. They may come in here and say, "I am a holy person." I don't mean they say it by their words, they just by their act. "I'm a holy person, da 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 da." But they don't teach the truth. That's the wolves. They don't teach the truth. The truth is important. Because the truth we can build on. A lie will lead us astray, or non-truth of the gospel. How hard is that to overcome? Like, for instance, James, you guys are old enough that you guys go to a different one on Sunday night, and you went to one for years somewhere else. Do we do everything exactly the same here as they did? Does that make us wrong? No. See, what is important for us to understand what the gospel really is and what our things are to do. People sometimes have traditions that they want to think it's gospel. No, it's just a tradition that church has done, which is nothing wrong with some of those traditions, don't get me wrong. But some of them are. That's why we need to know. It also states on the second part, I don't know if anybody told me that yet or not, that some people will rise up among us. Possibility. Back to what we started out earlier in the lesson here today, is that we have to be ready to teach them correctly if they're wrong. They have to be willing to accept it. It goes both ways, okay? Why is that important for us? I'm talking about a congregation that doesn't necessarily be here. Why is that important? It's not a difficult question.
You just can't let it slide if it's something not true.
Do we want to lose any Christians? No, I don't want to lose one of you. You know what? If I lose one of you, that's a soul that is lost. That's where I'm going with that.
that means you are lost. If you are lost, you're not going to finish the race that we talked about earlier. So it goes both ways. We have to understand that when we, or when someone teaches the gospel, is teaching it correctly. And if, oh, I didn't know that, I'm willing to change according to what we have learned. Instead of saying, well, this is what I've learned all my life. Well, you know what? I could be wrong. And so could the person that has taught you. But if it comes from the scriptures, hopefully neither one of us are wrong, and we are both willing to change. Think about that for a second. I don't want anybody to be lost. I want everybody to be saved. I want everybody to read the scriptures. I want everybody to watch out for the scriptures and to watch out for these individuals that try to lead us wrong. They don't necessarily have to be inside the building here. You could meet someone on the street and they try to persuade you something different than what we've learned. Think about that.
We have to have the mindset of Bereans, right? We need to compare whatever's being said with the gospel of Christ, right? Whether it's somebody outside saying it or whether it's somebody saying it right here in this building, somebody that we know and we trust, it doesn't matter. We have to compare it with the Word. And if it's consistent with the Word, then we should follow it. If it's not, then we should do our best to correct the person who said it.
That's right.
And if the person that said it has an honest heart and they unintentionally said something misleading, then they'll change.
Why would they change, James?
Well, because if they have an honest heart, they want to serve God.
That's
and,
right.
And maybe they said something that in ignorance or maybe it was misinterpreted, misspoken. Anything can happen, right? I mean, Scripture says, you know, be not many of you teachers, because you know you speak sometimes and maybe don't give it the full developed thought that you should have. That is true with Bible class teachers. It's been true with me, and I'm sure it's been true with others. But you know, we should be willing to be critiqued by anyone that's in our classes. If we're honest in our teaching, that's what we want.
That's right.
We don't want to mislead.
Well, let me ask you a question, James. I know you teach too, so. And you read a lot of the commentaries. So does Doug. Is the commentaries 100% right?
No.
Commentary I'm using is, I don't believe is either. But what I do is what is right according to what the scripture says. You know, that's what I try. And, you know, we have a grave responsibility. So if I was to come up here and start saying from the commentary of this, 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 and this, you're going to go, what? That's not what the scripture said. So we do have a great responsibility. Anybody else have anything before we go on? Something that we can also consider. Question 21 is that, who took care of the necessities of Paul and his co-workers while he was preaching the gospel to them in Ephesus?
He did.
What's that?
He did.
Not only did he work preaching and teaching the gospel, he worked to support himself. The example I want us to understand about this is Paul never stopped. He never stopped with the gospel. He never stopped supporting himself as much as he could. That is important to show
other people that you are doing your best to work for the gospel. That's the way I look at that. Because he didn't ask for Doug's help. You know, he didn't ask for somebody's individual's help. Unless it's absolutely needed. I think some of the church helped. But most of the time, I think it was he was taking money from one church to other churches to help the other churches. But he didn't do it as much as possible, I'm sure. I think that's a good example for us also, is to do those things, to reconcile with our own mind that we have to work. We're going to go back to the race from when we start until we finish, especially in the gospel. What was one of the reasons, this is 22, it says two reasons did Paul give for doing that. There's one of them that is very important in my opinion, because we've already went over one of them a lot, which was laboring like this for to help, so nobody had to help him. What would the other reason be?
Take care of the weak.
Take care of the weak. James, who's the weak?
The ones that are falling behind, the ones that can't make good decisions, the ones like widows and maybe children that don't have a chance.
Right. So it's a big long list, isn't it? It's widows. It's people that's not minded enough to take care of some of their own things on their own. It's to help the weak learn more, to do more, to accept more. The weak could be, in this day and time, if nobody took care of the widows, they weren't taken care of. Right, but the church was supposed to help, especially the widows in the church.
Once I think on the question before that, you know, he took care of himself and labor, but I'm sure the people that he was preaching to and was around, I'm sure they took care of him. I'm sure they helped. Hey, come on over to my house and eat. Or, hey, I noticed you need a jacket. Just as giving as he was, but he didn't, you know, expect them to take care of him, right? But I'm sure that they all pitched in and helped, and he helped them too.
So Christianity is just not about me, 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 is it? After cleaning his discourse with them, what did Paul do? That was in verse 36. What did he do? He knelt and prayed. We talked extensively about praying last week. What three things did the elders do? This is in verse 27. We talked about this just a little bit earlier. Because they had the love for Paul. Paul was giving them a chance to have eternal life. Paul was giving them a chance to be a Christian, to be a bigger and better person. But that's not all of it. That's only the beginning. Our time's about up. I think we'll finish with the next one. Why were they such deep sorrow? They wasn't going to see him anymore. And we talked about that some last week, that he probably would not get the opportunity to come back. Since we have about 1 minute left, I want to ask everybody a question here. And you may or may not know. But we're going to talk about it more next week. The ships that Paul would get on, and we'll go into more depth next week, but does anybody know what a tramp ship is? Without looking it up. I looked it up. Tramp, T-R-A-M-P. It is a vessel that goes from port to port to get cargo, and it doesn't leave till it gets full to go to any destination. So it doesn't go real quick. That's going to be important next week, because this is some of the ships that Paul took. It was a tramp ship. It's probably cheaper at the time, maybe. But they did not go until they had the availability to go, which means they had enough cargo. Thank you very, very much.